T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Have a little national NHL discussion. We'll ask him about the Sabres, too, with Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com, who is joining us right now on our Western Hotline back from Europe. There were games in Europe already? I didn't even notice those, Adam.
Yes, we had the wonderful NHL Global Series. We opened the season with the Flyers and the Blackhawks in Prague. It was a wonderful experience. It was actually my first time in Europe, too. So great game, great hockey, and a great trip for me, for both work and for pleasure.
Did you ask your boss about covering the Sabres games in Sweden?
We have other people who are going to be heading out to Stockholm, and I know those folks are pretty excited. I mean, having tasted these European games, it's such a cool experience. Just to see other fans, you know, we're used to what the atmosphere is like in an NHL building. You know, we've gone to them for so many years. To see how other people who don't have the NHL, who don't get it as often as we do, we get a little spoiled, I think. To see the way they reacted and the way their game presentation is made, the way they sort of, you know, chant and enjoy the game and see it a little differently. It was fun. It was really, really fun to experience that.
I don't remember. Maybe, Jeremy, you can help me out. Years ago, the Sabres played, I want to say maybe it would have been in Mannheim, Germany. And it was like the soccer crowd. I mean, it was so cool. The fans were chanting. They were singing. They were loud. They were into it. I just remember thinking that's a really fun experience, which seems like it.
It absolutely was. It was like that, maybe a little bit more so in Switzerland, just because, you know, there was a Swiss team there. So you had a traditional European team against an NHL team. But they were doing the soccer-style chants, and they were loud, and they were into it, and they had their own traditions. It was really cool. It was just an all-around really, really neat experience to have and to just have gone through it. And, you know, yes, the travel is difficult, but, you know, it was totally worth it. It was just to be in that environment and to enjoy that environment and to have the promotion, the production that the NHL does. It was such a treat. It was so cool to be a part of.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the Sabres start, 3-0-1. But also, I guess I could tie this into where they fit in the Atlantic Division, Adam, and get your thoughts on that. Do you expect Tampa, Toronto, and Boston in whatever order to be in the top three? And then where would you place the Sabres in? I'm assuming maybe Montreal, Florida might be in your next group. Where would you place the Sabres in this division?
Yeah, you know, I think that, listen, they're off to an outstanding start. You see what they've done under, you know, Ralph Kruger as a new coach. They're playing, you know, a more intense style, just a more up-tempo. They look like they're having fun out there, and that's really what it is. There's been a real, I don't know if lack of fun is the right word, but when you're losing, it's tough to enjoy the game. Now these guys, for whatever reason, with whatever, you know, system and style Ralph Kruger wants them to play, they look like they're having fun. Jack Eichel is happy. Rasmus Dahlin looks happy. You know, everybody there looks happy. And if they can keep this up, look, there's no doubt that talent is there in place to push for a wild card. I mean, look, Tampa, Toronto, Boston are most likely the head of that division. But there's spots behind it. There's, you know, it's wide open in the rest of the Eastern Conference for one of those wild card spots. And, you know, Florida's off to a little bit of a slow start. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's an opportunity there. Maybe, you know, Montreal's off to a little bit of a slow start. Maybe there's a chance there if Buffalo can keep this hot streak going, bank these points now, and put a little bit of a cushion, you know, ahead of some teams in that division. In that conference, maybe there's a chance that they can end that playoff drought this season.
You know, we were talking earlier, look, the Metropolitan Division, I think it's going to be interesting as we try and get a handle on that. You know, Carolina and the season they had last year, are they for real? Do they do that again? The Islanders had a tremendous season. But I look at Pittsburgh. I wonder, you know, about the drop-off in Columbus. New Jersey's off to a horrendous start, and they had the big moves in the offseason. I look at the Metropolitan, Adam, and I wonder if, when all said and done, that might be the most disappointing division in the league this year.
Well, you know, it's hard to say disappointing. I think there are some teams that there are some serious question marks about. Washington, I think, is the class of that division, and I think that will, you know, look, we're a handful of games into the season, but I think that'll eventually rise. They'll eventually rise to the top. But behind them, I mean, you can make a case for pretty much any other team in that division to have a shot at a top three spot, whether it's Carolina, the Rangers, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, the Islanders, Columbus, you know, fill in the blank. Any one of those teams has a real opportunity to get there. Now, you know, there might not be that dominant team like we had a couple of years ago where three teams in the division finished with over 100 points, but there's some quality talent, there's some quality teams in that division. It might not be as top-heavy when you look at the overall league standings, but I definitely believe there are some pretty good teams in that division. I think that'll show itself as we move forward.
Adam Kimmelman is with us from NHL.com on our Wester hotline. We're talking Sabres with you guys all this morning. Their win last night over Montreal, getting your reactions to that. 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Out west, let me get a few thoughts in on that. I was looking at the schedule, Adam, and the Sabres have a three-game swing out west next week, L.A., Anaheim, and San Jose. What's wrong with the Sharks? They're 0-4, and they've been outscored 17-5. Are they not playing like regular players or something? Or what's happening with San Jose?
That's a great question. I'm not sure what the issue there is, because they're really, you know, they lose Joe Pavelski. They lost Jonas Donskoy. So a little bit of their forward depth got affected. But, you know, you'd think that maybe Erik Karlsson, you know, season two in San Jose with the contract sewn up, he'd be sort of a little bit more comfortable. You know, I'm not sure what the issue there is, but I'm pretty confident that whatever bump in the road they're having now, I think it's really just a bump in the road. I don't foresee them being this kind of team where they're last in the division and they're struggling like this. You know, I mean, what they've played, you know, a couple of really tough teams. They played Vegas twice. Yeah. They played Anaheim, which is off to an outstanding start, and they played Nashville, which is a team that, you know, a lot of people had as a potential Stanley Cup favorite. So, you know, you look at who they've played and when they've played them, you know, they've got a back-to-back in there already with some travel involved. So I think there are some issues there that they clearly need to work out. Obviously, the offense hasn't clicked the way they thought it would be. Defensively, there are some issues there. But I still think at the end of the day, San Jose, if you look at that Pacific division, to me, it's going to be between them and Vegas for first in that division. And the issues they're having now, I think if we look ahead a month, 2 months from now, I think we're talking about in a completely different story of the San Jose Sharks.
What about Edmonton? They're off to a 3-0 start, and I think, you know, you look at Edmonton, Adam, and I think Buffalo and Edmonton, they're like brother, sister, or two brothers, whatever. The Oilers and the Sabres have had similar struggles, been at the top of the draft, changeover at coaches, GMs can't seem to turn it around. So, I thought they were turning it around a couple years ago, and then they went backwards. What are your thoughts on the Oilers and what they might be able to do that season, since you were talking about where that division could go down the road?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is they have a little bit better coaching. I think there's a more, you know, cohesive system in place. There's something there that the guys can kind of wrap their head around, and defensively where the issue is for them. You know, they're not – it's the goal prevention. They're going to score. When you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and now you're seeing James Neal look like the James Neal that everybody remembers, you know, excluding last year in Calgary, they're scoring and they're going to produce. But it was goal prevention. It was shot prevention. It was defensive play. Well, with Dave Tippett there, you know there's going to be a real focus on the defensive side of the puck. And, you know, they've allowed 9 goals in the 3 games, which is not great, but still an improvement on you know, sort of the things they did last year when they allowed, you know, a lot of goals in a lot of games. So you're seeing improvements, and I think, look, this is a team that is not bereft of talent. They're not deep, but they're not completely, you know, bereft of talent. There's some guys there that now with good coaching and a better structure in place, they're a team that really has the potential to fight for one of those wild card spots in the Western Conference.
It's funny. I think as you describe Edmonton, if I didn't know which team you were talking about, a lot of the stuff that you just said can circle us back to the Sabres with Ralph Kruger and with some of the offensive talent, with adding guys like Johansson and Vesey hasn't really done much, but Miller's helping out from the blue line. Olofsson now here, hopefully for a full season, with Kruger trying to put in a little bit more structure defensively than what they had last year. It sounds like a lot of the stuff you hit on the Oilers, you would say the same thing about Buffalo.
Well, for sure. And look, there's two guys who are going to drive that Sabres team. It's going to be Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. And, you know, one's your franchise forward, the other's your franchise defenseman, and those guys are producing. And if those guys are going to produce and they're going to play hard and they're going to carry the team, they're going to lift everybody else along with them, whether it's Victor Olofsson or Sam Reinhart or Jeff Skinner, Marcus Johansson, whomever it might be. All those guys, they're going to look to the leaders to be the guys driving the bus, and then they're going to want to drive along too. They're going to want to take ownership of that group. So when you see your best players being your best players and dominating, and look, I saw the highlight of that goal Jack scored the other last night.
Yep.
It was fantastic. I mean, but those are the plays he's capable of making, and now it looks like he's happy and he's confident and he's responding to, you know, whatever instruction and coaching he's getting from Ralph Kruger and that staff. And if he's going to be that kind of player, it's going to help everybody else on that team, and you're going to see, you know, guys try to, you know, do what they can to match him, to hang with him.
You know, one last
thing. And the same goes for Darlene.
Sorry about that, Adam. But one last thing on that. We were having a discussion earlier. I'll give this to you in two parts. One, what is the perception or the view of Jack Eichel around the league? And we were talking this morning, one thing that would really help him coming off a point a game numbers last year, and, you know, clearly you talked about him driving this team. One thing that helps when you're a young player to get noticed is to be in the playoffs and to do that in the postseason, in the spotlight, under the pressure. And maybe that's something that's lacking here, that Eichel, if he's not maybe getting the credit around the league, would the Sabres actually have to get into a postseason for Eichel to get more national notoriety?
Yeah, I think so, too. I absolutely agree with you. I think, look at the path Nathan MacKinnon kind of treaded. You know, very similar, you know, places. They came into a team that was not doing well. They walked into a losing environment as a very high pick with a lot of pressure on them, and they didn't really do whatever the expectations were for them, whether they were outsized or fair or not. But then MacKinnon gets the Avalanche to the playoffs. He's a Hart Trophy candidate. He's considered a top five, top ten player in the game. Jack Eichel is not significant. There's not a significant talent drop off from MacKinnon to Eichel. But what is different is Eichel hasn't grabbed the reins of his team and dragged them to the playoffs the way Nathan MacKinnon has done in Colorado. So I think this is a real opportunity now with the start the Sabres have had for Jack Eichel to have sort of that season that MacKinnon had, and just drag the Sabres to the playoffs, be their best player, and not just be their best player, be one of the top 10 or 15 players in the league. Because then once he does it once, he figures out, oh, I can be this kind of player, because he has the talent and he has the skill to be that kind of player on a season after season basis. But he's got to do it once before he can do it 4 or 5 years in a row. I think maybe this could be the season where he does that.
We are with Adam Kimmelman, kind enough to join us on our Western Hotline from NHL.com. Welcome back to the States and enjoy the rest of the hockey season, Adam. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.